Well, good morning. I think that was even worse than last time. Good morning. I want to take this opportunity to thank this church for being the body of Christ, where we have fellowshiped for almost a year. Christina and myself and our three boys are moving to Picture Butte in a little under 2 weeks. We'll be moving on the 22nd. As a senior pastor there. And so if you think about us, pray for us. We are going to be going into a little bit of a different culture than here. I have to sharpen up on my Plotdeutsch. I have to preach in Plotdeutsch and in English. And so Plotdeutsch is no longer my first language, so it will be a little bit of an adjustment for us in that way. But we are extremely excited. And so we really want to say thank you to this church for allowing us to serve here, and also how you have served us. Many of you have reached out in friendship and in fellowship, and for that we want to say thank you. And thank you, Brittany, for singing a Need to Breathe song. It's my favorite band, so thank you very much. The sun. It is the center of our solar system. It is way bigger than the rest of our solar system combined. The surface temperature, give you a picture here, a few pictures of the sun, is approximately 5,505 degrees Celsius. That will cook any dinner that you would put on it, probably burn it too. It fuses 430 to 600 million tons of hydrogen each second. So this isn't your average campfire. There's a few pictures on it. There's huge solar flares on them, these huge fireballs that come off of them, and they reach several thousand kilometers high. This star is approximately 149.6 kilometers away from us. At this distance, light travels from the sun to the Earth in about 8 minutes and 19 seconds. So the speed of light is fast, but it still takes so long to get here. But even after it is so far away, it still supports all life on Earth. Here's another picture of these huge fires that is on the sun. Without the sun, our Earth would probably be right around minus 27 degrees Celsius. It's basically no energy movement. And it's the sun's gravity that keeps the Earth from flying into outer space. Some more pictures. But how many of you as a kid have held up your thumb to the sun and you're like, huh, the sun ain't that big. It's probably even smaller than my thumb. Well, I can assure you that the sun is definitely bigger than your thumb. That's a basketball, and if you can see that little blue dot on the top, that is our Earth compared to the sun. I use this analogy because we very often do this to a different sun in our lives. We do this to Jesus Christ. We hold up our thumb to him, and in our arrogance we say, you know what, Jesus? I don't think you're that big. And so today as we look at Colossians 1, 15 to 23, I want us to see a different picture of Jesus. So let's open in prayer and we'll get into the sermon here. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you how it is a blessing in this community. I thank you, even though we are a people that struggle, we are people with imperfections, that we are proclaiming the gospel. We are being a body of believers that seeks to honor you. And I pray that as we leave, I pray that this church will be blessed. And you will continue to grow this church, bless this church. And I pray as we look into your word today, give us a clear picture of who you are, that as we leave today, we will have a bigger understanding of you, and our God will be just a little bit bigger. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you would want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading from Colossians 1, 15 to 23. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moving from the hope set out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that you have proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, have become a servant. So the first thing that this passage of Scripture shows us about Jesus Christ is that Jesus is a creator. In verses 15 to 16, as creator, he was also God. Do you see Jesus as a God? As the God? Or is he some good person? Is he just a prophet? Or is he God? Is he maybe less God than the Holy Spirit or less God than the Father? No. This passage of Scripture said Jesus Christ is God. It's one of the founding blocks of our faith. Without this assertion, we do not have Christianity. It says he is the image of the invisible God. This isn't referring to Jesus being a son, maybe a descendant of God, but it's referring more in this whole context. It also says he is the firstborn over all creation. And so it's kind of giving us this picture of Jesus being the oldest in this family called God. It's kind of a complicated doctrine, this doctrine of Trinity, but it gives us a picture here of Jesus being part of this family. And in this family, Jesus is the oldest. Not that he was born, but it refers to the authority he has in this family. Everything that is the Father's is Jesus's. Everything that God the Father has worked for, Jesus the Son is working for. They share the estate. And in the same way in this culture, where this was written in, the oldest had the power of the estate. He was in charge if the father should pass on. This is what it's referring to. He looks like his father, he's the oldest, and he owns the estate. So Jesus is God. John 1:1-3 give assertion to this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So it's another passage of Scripture that asserts this. Jesus was also at the creation of the world. In Genesis 1:26, it gives us a very interesting account. And it's actually quite amazing how this has survived translations over thousands of years. God is recorded as saying in Genesis 1:26, he says, let us. Who is the us referring to? It's referring to God existing as a Trinity. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Jesus was at the creation. And then this passage goes a little bit further yet. It says, everything that was created by Jesus and through Jesus. And so if you have this picture of maybe a factory, you have the quality control at the end, all creation was passed through Jesus at the final mark. He was the quality control. Everything was created by Jesus. Jesus was at the creation, and it was creating through Jesus. So Jesus, everything that was created has Jesus' stamp of approval. And then just reaffirms that Jesus created everything with the word by him. He created everything physical. So when you look outside and you see the creation, do you think of the greatness of Christ? When you look at the Buffalo Head Hills and you see the blue, the green, maybe in fall the orange, do you think of Christ? Everything that was physical was created by Jesus. If you would go into a place that does not see a lot of humans, you would see a huge field of flowers. Those flowers come up every year, whether a human sees them or not. That beautiful field of flower, first and foremost, was made to portray the glory of God. And he also created everything spiritual. This includes the angels. Can you imagine what was going through Jesus' head when Satan, an angel that Christ had created, came up to him and said, I will give you this kingdom. What some of the things that must have been going through Jesus' mind, you must have been thinking, you, this little bug, is going to come up to me, the creator, and tell me you will give me something? This is a picture of Jesus. We have Jesus as the creator of everything, both physical and spiritual. Not only is Jesus the creator of everything, he is also the person that everything was created for. We have that in verse 16. Everything was created for Jesus. This goes back to the analogy of the firstborn in the previous verse. Jesus was the firstborn. Everything that was created was made for Jesus. All creation is for the glory of Christ. You exist for the glory of Christ. You were created for Jesus Christ. You weren't only created by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, but for Jesus Christ. Revelation 4:11 reiterates this thought. You are worthy, O Lord, referring to Jesus, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So part of being created for Jesus Christ is being created for a relationship with Jesus. We need to remember that Jesus does not need a relationship with us. Jesus was part of the Trinity for eternity, and he will continue to be part of the Trinity for eternity. He does not need a relationship with us to complete him, but he chooses to have a relationship with us. This is an absolutely amazing reality. This is because God is relational in nature. He has existed for all eternity as a relational being. Genesis 3:8 gives us an account of God and Adam walking together in the garden. It gives us this intimate picture of how much God longs to have this very intimate, personal relationship. God Almighty walking with man in the garden before sin distorted our relationship. But this brings us to a kind of a hard point. If we are created by Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus, this also has implications for us. Our role, because he is the creator and we're creating for him, he determines who we are and why we are here. See, for us as humans, that is a hard thing to grasp, isn't it? I am not here for myself. I am not here for my own pleasures. Are you serious? No, our role is determined by Jesus. I've been working as a cabinet maker for the last year, and wouldn't it be so ridiculous if I worked all week on a set of cabinets, and when they were all done, someone came and asked, who are these for? And I said, I don't know. I don't think anybody. What are you planning to do with them? I don't know, probably just throw them out. You'd be like, no, I want them. It's absolutely ridiculous to build something without a purpose. And the same reason Jesus has built you, he has made you with a purpose. You are not without a purpose. But with that purpose, he has given you a role. What is this role? This role is to have eternal life. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. And it doesn't give us eternal life as a definition of something that happens later. This is what eternal life is. That you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is the role that God has given you. So can we start to see this amazing picture that is painted by Colossians as regard to who Jesus is? Not only is Jesus the creator, he's also the person that everything is created for. Not only does Jesus create everything, and everything is created for him, after it's created, it's being held together by Jesus. Jesus sustains life. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4 says this, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to fathers by the prophets, who in these last days spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. So here is Jesus Christ holding everything together. I think of a PTO, and if you put something on a PTO, it's a spinning shaft, and if you would put something on it, a string with something else on it, it would start to flail around, right? And the faster you go, the bigger chance of something drastically going wrong, right? This universe is spinning. This world is spinning. And it kind of gives this picture of Jesus having his hand over this world, and he's keeping it from flying to pieces. Because Jesus holds the universe together by his power. It says, by the power of his word. Jesus says it, and it happens. So this world, as it spins and everything could be going out of control, but here is Jesus with his hand and by his power of his word, he's holding it together. So if you are hurting today and it seems like nothing is making sense, my world is flying off the PTO. The same Jesus that is holding the universe together is holding your life together. This is an amazing comfort to us. When things don't seem to be in control, they are. Because the Bible here gives us a picture of Jesus holding the whole universe together. And if he's holding the stars together, he's holding this world together, he's holding this solar system together, surely he could reach down and hold our lives together. Jesus is powerful enough to do this for us because of who he is. Jesus is truly a great God. Verse 18 goes on to tell us that Jesus is Lord over everything. One of my uncles was on a farm, and he had this one bull that had an attitude of its own. And it didn't want to leave the pen. And so stock prods, all kinds of things were used, whips. And eventually, he got frustrated, and what did he do? He went to the shop, started up his John Deere tractor. And the bull came with the John Deere tractor. The bull had full intentions of going his own way. I see, this is who we are as people sometimes too. We think we're going to go our own way. But do we realize the power that Jesus holds? He is the Lord. He is the powerful one. And so if he wants us to go in a certain way, we will go in a certain way. The only people that we really are hurting when we don't go his way are ourselves. The same way the bull probably really had a stiff neck this next day because the chain was wrapped around his horns and he did some serious damage to his neck, I'm sure. He was one to hurt. The tractor didn't care. He just put it in the higher gear and went faster. Jesus is Lord of our lives. Jesus is the head of the church. Maybe you're a newcomer and you don't really understand what all this Christianity is about. The reason why we sing so much of Jesus, the reason why we have a cross here, and all our symbols seek to model Christ, is because Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the reason why we get together. He is the Lord of this church. It is the reason why we meet together, even on time change day when we had to get up an hour earlier, right? It's because Jesus is head of the church. So when we serve, we do it under the lordship of Christ. This kind of checks our motives at the door, doesn't it? When we come to serve Jesus at his church or through the church, Jesus, or God, says in 1 Peter 4:11 that whenever we do something, we should do it for the glory of Christ. Jesus also rose from the dead and conquered all. I think if somebody says something and does something, and then he backs up his claims with rising from the dead and in his own power, I think he probably has the power to be Lord of all. The one thing that nothing in this universe can solve is coming back from the dead. Life is given to us by God. Life is taken from us by God. And God alone has the power of life and death. And Jesus demonstrated he was God by raising himself from the dead. By this very act, Jesus showed he was Lord over everything. He was the boss. There was no thing that was not under his authority. The last thing that could have been over him was death. But Jesus said, "You are not Lord over me. I have conquered you. I'm going to raise from the dead." 1 Corinthians 15:20-28, I won't read it, but it gives this amazing picture of how Jesus, as he rose from the dead, and as we anticipate Easter in a couple of weeks, we see how Jesus has displayed that he is Lord, he has authority over everything by the resurrection. And then it just says he controls everything. Jesus, in Matthew 28:11, says this, "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me.'" Who? Jesus. "In heaven and on earth." Do you wish that things were in control? Well, they are. Jesus is in control. Jesus has the authority to do anything in this universe. And so if you are going through a time when things are seeming to be out of control and there is nothing you can do about it, you're right. There is nothing you can do about it. Jesus is in control of your life. So can we come to the place where we give up our own lordship and we say, "I am not the boss of my life. You are Christ. You are Jesus. You are the boss and you are the Lord of my life. I give myself over to you. I'm not going to fight against the chain that is around my horns." Can we give up our right to try to be Lord? And lastly, in verses 19 to 23, gives us this amazing picture as Jesus is Savior. Here is the God that created everything, that gave everything the stamp of approval, and that everything that was created for him. And everything that is created is under his authority. And yet, he comes down and he wants to be the Savior of this creation. This creation that has rejected him. It says we were alienated from God. And we were enemies in our minds. Why were we enemies in our minds and alienated from God? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. The word sin, when I say it, all of us, it does something to us, right? Because either we have been justifying our own actions and we try to do away with this concept of sin, or there's a conviction in our hearts. We have all sinned. And this is this sin that has alienated us from God. We cannot live out our role. We cannot live out our purpose because of our wicked works. Maybe we can sit here and say, no, we're not that bad. Well, let's take just a little bit of a view of ourselves. Are we liars? Yes, we are. We lie to our spouses, we lie to our children, we lie to our bosses, and we lie to ourselves. Are we murderers? Yes, we are. There are times in our lives when we hold hate against other people. Are we jealous people? Yes, we are. Are we thieves? Yes, we are. And so we see these kind of things, our wicked works, our wicked thoughts, our wicked motives are separating us from God. But what does Jesus do? It says he came to reconcile us to God. Jesus has reconciled us to God through his work on the cross and his resurrection. Imagine if you went to the lab at the clinic here and you had to get your blood work done. And the nurse just opened up this kind of compartment, took out an old bloody rag and started cleaning where they wanted to insert a needle. What would you do? Probably wish that you had a different lab technician, first of all, but you should run. Right? Why is this? The cloth, what it was created for, was tainted. It is no longer able to fulfill the role it was given. It's no longer able to clean the wound or clean the place where the wound will happen. And we too are cloths that cannot do what we are called to do. We are no longer sterile. We are no longer clean. But what does God do? He comes and he cleans us. The Old Testament gives a picture of whiter than snow, and we had a snowfall this morning. And it was such a beautiful picture, whiter than snow. That sterile cloth that was tainted is now made clean again. Unfortunately, if you are not saved, verses 11 to 22 do not apply to you. You are still alienated from God and you're still enemies with him. If that is you here, you are not reconciled with God. You have not necessarily just held up your thumb to Christ and say, you are not that big. Maybe some of you are pointing your middle finger up at God. We would say, that's a horrible thing to do. Yes, it is, but we do it all the time. When we say, no, it is not your way I'm going to bend to. It is my way. That's what we are doing. We are not only pulling up our thumb to God, we are showing him the middle finger. And if this is us, is today the day that you will bend, you will bow, you will take your thumb down and you'll say, Jesus, the Bible says this is who you are. You are great. You are awesome. You are Lord over everything. And can you bow to Jesus? Can you say, now, today, I give you the authority to run my life? I acknowledge you have been running my life up to now, but I am no longer going to fight against you. And can you be reconciled to God by the work of Christ? Christ has done everything to make it possible for you to have a relationship with this amazing God. He has done everything. And we need to step out in faith and in surrender to this amazing God. This amazing God whose everything that was created for him, through him, and by him. And he's authority of everything. So I want to ask three questions of us. What is your view of Christ? What is your view of Jesus? Have you been holding up your thumb to Jesus and saying, you know what, you're not that big. I can do just fine, thank you. Maybe you don't have salvation through Jesus. Do you have salvation through Jesus? And of those of you who have surrendered your life to Christ and he has reconciled you to God, is he running your life? See, so many times we surrender our lives to Christ once and then we leave it there. We go back and we take up authority again. Is this Jesus to you? Or is this Jesus to you? You're holding up your thumb to Jesus and saying, you are not that big? Or do you see Jesus for who he really is? He is great. He is powerful. He is Lord over everything. I'll leave you with this question. Who is Jesus to you? Let's close in prayer. Jesus, we have looked at your word today. We have looked at your revelation. And you have painted a picture of yourself. That is awesome. But it also convicts us where we are sitting, where we are standing. We see that you are God and you have authority over everything, God. In the next weeks and months, help us to see in what ways we are not submitting to you and help us to submit our lives to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. I know sometimes when an invitation is given to surrender our lives to Christ, we really want to do it so bad, but we put it off. My challenge to you is don't put it off. Maybe after the service, meet with one of the pastoral staff or maybe a strong Christian friend and talk maybe through some of these things and surrender your whole life to Christ. Thank you.